we're going to look to the Word of God as we always do. So if we can go to Daniel chapter 12 to start with. Daniel chapter 12, just turn there so that I'm ready when the time comes. But anyway, I want to talk a bit tonight about confidence. And I wonder, does anyone remember a TV show that was on when I was a young man, so it's a while ago now, called This Fabulous Century? Does anyone else remember that? Wasn't a figment? No? No, you don't remember it? Okay. Oh, well, I'll tell you about it, shall I? The little that I can remember of it. It was on Channel 7. It was compared by a man named Peter Luck, who was actually, he grew up in Adelaide, interestingly, and it would go through historic events and things about Australian society in the 1900s. And when I sort of Googled it just to check that it wasn't a figment of my imagination, and it said it was the hit of 1979. So that gives you a hint as to when it was, a while ago. I don't remember much about the TV show itself, but it got me thinking about life, because it tended to go back to early in the century, as you can imagine, a bit of history and stuff like that, and made me think about life, you know, around the turn of, not the last turn of the century, but the one before, around 1900. And it made me think of cars that were like little buggies with spoked wheels. You know what I'm talking about there? Yes, anyone? Anyone? Yep, good, thank you. Bit of audience feedback always helps me, so thank you. And it turned out that the when I Googled that, one of the cars from 1900 was called the St. Louis Gasoline Buggy. And it actually did look like a buggy, if you know, think about what that would look like, with a steering wheel and the guy perched up on the top, you know, with goggles and a hat and all that sort of thing. So if we think of, you know, cars from that era, apparently the first car was in the 1880s. It was effectively, it was like a tricycle with a motor. Quite large wheels, not a, like a little tricycle that a child would ride, but if you imagine a three-wheel vehicle, one at the front, two on the sides at the back, guy perched up on the top and a little motor underneath him sort of thing. So that was around the 1880s. So around 1900, most Aussies wouldn't have even had a car. They would have just had a horse and cart, or, you know, they would have walked around the place, I suppose. There were no planes yet. First flight, Wright Brothers, was 1903. So the amazing thing, of course, about it is that by the 1960s, we had supersonic jets. We'd entered the space age. So there was an amazing increase in technology and an incredible, really, change in our society and technology and our lifestyle. And of course, that's no coincidence, because Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 here says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." So it's talking about the last days. It's talking about Jesus Christ soon return, that it would be a time of trouble and that there'll be deliverance for those who follow the Lord. Verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament," which is like the visible arch of the sky. We were talking about that earlier. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So the hope of eternal life and glory with the Lord for those who follow him. Verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Which, you know, people might take that in various different ways, but certainly I've got no doubt that it's talking about the last times and the very increase of knowledge that we were just referring to and that we've seen happen in history. Really, if you could graph knowledge, it's sort of gone like that in the end times, the times that we live in and the few generations before us. So it's really a fulfillment of Bible prophecy and a sign of the times and the last days, the way technology and life has changed in the last relatively short period of time. And there's so we're talking about confidence tonight. Confidence comes from clarity. And praise the Lord that God's filled us with His Spirit and He's given us a vision and an understanding and a clarity about who we are, what we've got, and the times that we live in, and that, you know, there's hope of eternal life to come soon. We just want to hang in there in the Lord, obviously, don't we? And it really is referring there to the need to be born again, because if we just go back to the verses that there in verse 1, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time shall thy people be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And hopefully we'll get a chance to look at a few verses for any that might be new, tuning in online or whatever. But the Bible is very clear about the need to be born again. Baptism, burying the old way of life in the waters of baptism, full immersion, and that just what happens then is that we receive the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking in other tongues, and that's the new life that God wants to give us and a new understanding. And He makes us a new person, changes our life, and makes us to understand the things of the Lord. And that's the way to be saved, according to the scriptures in the New Testament, and that there will be deliverance and eternal life for all those that believe. So we need to be born again. Baptism, the Holy Ghost, which gives us wisdom, ability, understanding to do God's will and to follow Him. Why the Holy Spirit? There are many religious folk that we might come across that might dispute the need to receive the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking in other tongues. Well, it's Jesus Christ coming into us. It's forgiveness, it's salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and the fulfillment of that is in receiving the Holy Spirit, and then we know the truth and we're set free. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if we can go there, in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you become behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord's come inside us through the Spirit so that we would see and that we would have clarity and that we would have confidence through Him, through the Holy Ghost in us. And in verse 7 there, that come behind in no gift. I've just got something that I grabbed on that a little bit earlier. And that the Greek word that is translated gift is charisma, and it means a spiritual endowment. Some of you might have heard of, you know, many years ago they had child endowment, where the government gave money to parents to look after their children. So it was this giving of this gift or this gratuity for the purpose of looking after children. The other thing that Strong says here is a miraculous faculty. So just like we've got sight, we've got hearing and faculties, amazing things that God gave us in the natural so that we could see and hear and operate, well, He's filled us with the Holy Spirit so that we would understand, we've got the mind of Christ, and we would understand spiritual things and be able to serve Him and follow Him with confidence because we've got clarity. We know that He's there for us. We know what He wants of us because He filled us with His Spirit. And if we just go to verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word confirm means to make firm or to establish us. So again, confidence, clarity, understanding, He's with me, and as I look to Him, He's going to show me the way to go. And that's why we're here, because we've got that clarity and understanding and confidence. Praise the Lord. Just one little example. One of the reasons this fabulous century came to mind was one of the episodes that I remember a bit about. I must have perhaps, you know, had some thoughts about Jesus coming back to the earth or whatever. I'd no doubt would have heard various things from my elder sisters who went to other churches and so forth. But this sort of, I remember this caught my attention at the time. But one of the episodes referred to a church group that sat on the water's edge in Sydney Harbour, you know, deck chairs, picnic and all that sort of thing. They were dressed in the garb of the time. Ladies in long dresses and so on, because they believed Jesus Christ was going to return on a nominated date, and that this was in the 1920s. I can't tell you the exact date. I don't remember that. And that he was going to come through Sydney Heads. Surprise, surprise. They sat there and they were disappointed because it didn't happen. Matthew chapter 24. And of course, these are things that we know very, very clearly. We've been taught them from the beginning because in the Revival Fellowship, we follow the Word of God. And, you know, we're shown at the beginning the promise of God of salvation is that if you ask God, he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit and you'll know, you'll speak in tongues. It's the promise of God. And, you know, we follow that and God answers us personally. And it works, and it's a blessing. And we look to the Word of God, and it's got all sorts of advice and direction on how to live life. And, you know, it's wonderful. Praise the Lord. But just one little example of the clarity of the understanding that we have, and we only need to go and look at the Scriptures. Matthew 24, verse 36, talking about the return of Jesus Christ. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So of course it's foolishness when we hear about people that try and nominate the date that Jesus Christ is returning. And again, we were having some fellowship today, and according to Mr. Google, there's one particular group that's had about five goes and got it wrong every time, because of course the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. Only God knows when Jesus Christ is returning. But praise the Lord, we know to just stand fast in the truth, because we're waiting for that great and wonderful day. And we know that the answer is to be faithful every day, and that we'll reap that reward in that instant when Jesus Christ does return. And just for a bit of context, verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily or truly I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And where I wanted to get to, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Talk about clarity. Talk about confidence. In verse 36, the Lord gave us the answer. No man knows the day or the hour, so the answer is just to remain faithful. But we know that the promise is sure, and in spite of the fact that, you know, life goes on in this world from day to day, and in 2 Peter, I think it is in chapter 3, it says that people might say, you know, where is the promise of his coming? But praise the Lord that we know that the answer is just remain faithful. And in an instant, he'll return, and we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be saved. We know who we are. We know what we're doing. We know where we're going. In a world that is just full of confusion, we've got absolute confidence implanted in us through the Holy Ghost and the experience that the Lord's given us. Praise the Lord. Jenny and I were driving up to Gawler on Sunday for the meeting there, and we saw a small plane taking off, and it was towing a glider, you know, this very narrow-bodied, very long-winged plane, you know, no motor, but it's being towed. I'd never actually seen a glider being towed up into the air like that. It was only just off the ground. It was really interesting to see, and I imagine it must be exhilarating to glide around up in a plane, no noise except the wind, the view, and all that. And it sort of reminded me a bit of they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. But my point is, we're talking about confidence tonight, is that the Lord's lifted us up so that we can see clearly. And, you know, if you think about flying, when you're up high like an eagle or, you know, a glider or whatever, you can see clearly, can't you? You can see afar off. You can see, you know, things that might have been in the way before, you're lifted up above them and you can see afar off. And we know the times that we live in. We can see the Lord's return on the horizon. And we've talked about some of the signs there. And praise the Lord, not only can we see that he's coming, but the Lord's the one who powers us on. He's the engine. Just like this glider had this plane that was towing it up in the air, and I'm sure, you know, it takes quite a bit of skill to do all that sort of thing, but the Lord's given us impetus. He's given us power. He's lifted us up so that we can see clearly and we can walk in his ways. If we just go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, and it says, Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So, you know, praise the Lord for his grace. He's given us strength. He's changed us. He's given us power through the Holy Ghost to be that new creature, to live the way the Bible says. I mean, I know I tried before I got spirit-filled in various areas, and I just couldn't do it, and I knew it. But praise the Lord, when we get spirit-filled, we've got this ability, this miraculous faculty to be able to live the way the Lord says. He's lifted us up on high. Praise the Lord. So he's given us strength. So he's overcome our weaknesses by giving us strength. And he's also overcome our weaknesses by his mercy, whereby now we know that we've got forgiveness and we can stand confidently before the Lord, knowing that we're saved by grace. And of course, we need to walk in the Spirit. They that are led of the Spirit are the children of God, but we also know that we've got forgiveness and mercy for our faults, whereby we can just say, thank you, Lord, that I'm justified by faith in you. We've got peace inside. What a confidence that is. Something that money can't buy, but God gave it to us through his love. And verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations or troubles also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy, by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And yep, that's where I wanted to read to. So confidence, he delivers us, and praise the Lord, he's delivered us over and over again, hasn't he? Whether it's from sicknesses or difficulties or whatever. But the first deliverance was when he filled us with the Holy Spirit and we spoke in other tongues and we were delivered from being limited by being in a mortal body. You know, we live and then we die. And I certainly, you know, couldn't see any way past that. And occasionally I thought about death and it really scared me. It just was like this sort of black hole that I couldn't work out, couldn't fathom and didn't really want to think about. But as soon as I received the Holy Spirit, I was set free from that. Praise the Lord. There's life after death with the Lord and eternal life. What a, just a load off my mind. And I'm sure it was for many of you too. Some, you know, say they weren't scared of death, but certainly either way, we've got the answer now, haven't we? And all the people said, praise the Lord. So, and you know, I've heard some that have been brought up in the Lord say things in, like in a testimony, I've never had a big miracle like a healing or something like that. But the reality is that the biggest miracle any person can ever have is to receive the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking in tongues and be translated from death into life, mortality to immortality, from, you know, not having that personal relationship with God to having it. So just a thought there. If you've thought about that way about your own testimony at times, well, just think about the fact that you've got an amazing story to tell and a miraculous event to tell people about. And of all the things that we could tell someone who doesn't know the Lord, that's really the most important one to tell people about, that they can receive the Holy Spirit, speak in other tongues, know the truth, and be set free. It's the biggest miracle, the Holy Ghost experience, proof of the resurrection. Because when we receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ answered us. Can't do that unless he's alive, unless he's beaten death to show the whole world that there is an answer, that there is a hope beyond the grave and eternal life with Jesus Christ. And, you know, we have dear ones who've gone to sleep in the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've got that hope of knowing that they're going to be in the resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then, you know, we which are alive and remain, or are still alive on the earth when Jesus Christ returns, shall rise up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise the Lord. Confidence. He delivers us. He delivered us when he filled us with the Holy Spirit. And these verses here are one thought that I had is confidence comes from doing. So if you've done something successfully before, then you know you can do it again because you did it before. Who was scared the first time they tried to drive a car? Hands up if you're not, hands up if you're not scared anymore. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, does it? I was going to say put your hand down. Anyway, all your hands have gone down. So we'll assume that none of you are scared of driving anymore. That after doing it for a while, it sort of became second nature, and that's a natural thing. Tying our shoelaces at one stage, it's, you know, like, how does it go? Bunny round the corner and through the, I don't know, whatever, I can't. I never learned how to tie my shoelaces that way. But, you know, I suppose at one stage in our life, it might have been a bit of a mystery. And then now it becomes second nature. I am wearing slip-on boots tonight, but that's another story. Anyway, but my point is that what about, it talks here, let's just go back to it. Tribulation works patience halfway through verse 3, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So it seems to me that what it's saying is that as we trust in the Lord, as we seek the Lord, and sometimes we're in circumstances where we think, I haven't got the answer here, Lord. I'm casting all my care upon you because I need your help here. And then he delivers us, and that turns into experience. We've patiently waited on the Lord and he's answered us, and that translates into hope. Yes, I know the Lord's there for me. And if we ever find ourselves in another situation, or we've got a brother or a sister that finds themselves in a difficult situation, we're able to share testimonies, aren't we? Of, well, you know, the Lord did this for me. And it gives another person confidence and hope. And in verse 5, we know ultimately that what it's really all about is that Jesus gave his life for our deliverance, and that the love of God is truly shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He's with us. His love is with us. His eyes are upon us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, which is the Lord's promise. And God's not a man that he should lie, or son of man that he should repent. He won't go back on his promise. We just need to stay true to him, and he'll always be there for us. And so that is the greatest confidence that any man or woman can ever have in life, or any child, is that I'm spirit-filled, and the Lord's answered me before, and so I know he'll answer me again. Confidence comes from doing. As we put our trust in the Lord, he comes through with the goods, and we're blessed, and that's a wonderful thing. We might just go to Psalm 96. One great thing about the Bible is, seems to me that it's full of checklists. various things that we can put into practice in our life. The Lord's the whole foundation of our life. And I mean, I'm preaching to the converted tonight. We know these things, and what a wonderful thing that we do. Clarity, confidence. We know that as we walk in the Spirit, the Lord will, be our answer in every situation. And we know that we just keep walking on that straight and narrow path that leads to salvation. And when we don't have an answer to a particular circumstance, well, the answer is the just shall live by faith. The answer is I'm just going to keep walking in the Lord, because I know that He will change my circumstances, reveal an answer from the wisdom of the Scriptures, give me a scriptural thought or idea when I need it, an answer to say to someone that, perhaps someone we're witnessing to, or a difficult circumstance at work or whatever. We can rest in that knowledge that the Lord's there to lift us up. You know, think of they that wait upon the Lord. I've probably said it before, but I love the fact that they wait upon the Lord means, or can be translated, they that intertwine themselves with the Lord. If I just keep coming along and doing this, if I just keep seeking the Lord, you know, He's going to bless me. He's going to work in my situation. He's going to cause me to grow in His ways, to grow in peace. Because, I know I've had my times, still have at times, where I feel a bit anxious. But isn't it great that we can just fall to our knees, seek the Lord, and He's the Prince of Peace. And, you know, just like the eagle that soars, or, you know, the Lord empowering us. Think of that glider that just is towed up in the air, you know, empowered, and then just goes for a nice old glide, soaring above the trials of life and enjoying the view of God's creation. And I mean, I know that life presents its challenges. I'm just really, I suppose, hope what you get out of it, that God's with us. And that's a wonderful assurance and confidence for us to have in life. Praise the Lord. I actually got to see the glider coming into land later. It might have been a different glider. I don't know. But anyway, we were out sort of collecting a few golf balls after the meeting, and I just saw this glider, no noise. I just happened to look up and see this thing sort of coming into land. It was, anyway, I enjoyed it. Psalm 96, let's just read that. I should get on with it. Psalm 96, I sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. So, we've got something to rejoice about, haven't we? Like it says elsewhere, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, because, you know, all other gods are just dumb idols, aren't they? We praise the Lord. We know we've got the living God who answers. Verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. You know, fancy that. If you're listening anew tonight and you've been involved in religion, if you're watching on the live stream, well, you might have had experience with other gods that are like statues or whatever, and when you talk to them, they do this. You know, no disrespect meant to anyone, but that's the reality. But we're talking about the God that spoke the universe into being, that answers in power. Verse 6, honour and majesty are before Him, strength and beauty are His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord glory due unto His name, bring an offering and come to His courts. I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigns. The world shall also be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. So, you know, He's the God of the whole earth. He's, you know, looking for people that want to know the truth and directing us to them, and working in people that pray to Him in all corners of the earth, that they, you know, might hear the gospel. And the gospel is truly going out to the four corners of the earth, isn't it? I mean, one brother in Wales said a few years ago, I'd only heard of Burundi because it was a war-torn country that I'd seen on the TV, on the news. And now I'm hearing reports of people receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and being baptized and being saved as a result, and rejoicing in the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. But anyway, just a few key words talking about checklists, things that, you know, The Lord is the foundation of our life. Without him we can do nothing, but with him I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's assurance. That's confidence. So the Lord's the foundation and we can build our faith, a bit like building up scaffolding. You know, we can build our faith on his promises, on it, you know, the remembrance of the testimonies of all the things he's done in our life and the life of all of you that encourages us and strengthens us and just, you know, we hear the right thing at the right time to just encourage us. But a few things we can do to build our faith. A few key words. Verse 2, sing to the Lord. Verse 3, declare his glory. Verse 6, well, it says honour and majesty are before him, but we can, bit of a perhaps a play on words, but we can honour him. We can respect his word, you know, highly. This is above my thoughts. I should do what the Bible says above my own thoughts. We can respect and even reverence the Lord and his word. We can give to the Lord. We can serve him and our brothers and sisters. And we can say, as we continue to speak the good things of the Lord one to the other, well, what does it do? It gives us confidence, doesn't it? It's reassuring. It's like a breath of fresh air coming together like this on a Wednesday night is like a long drink when you've been out in the desert a bit and thirsty. And we come here, it's like a fuel stop, isn't it? Cars running a bit low on fuel. You can, you know, get into the petrol station, get fueled up and you're ready to charge on for another good while and praise the Lord that the Lord's given us, a spiritual fuel station that we can be, fueled up and just, go to work or school or whatever we're doing tomorrow, rejoicing in the Lord and with a story to tell to people that want to hear it. Praise the Lord. We'll leave it there.